Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Come on, let's go. Hey, by the way, we need to begin with breaking news out of Tampa from Fox 13.
Oh. Please, bro, please.
The video of a Florida charter captain confronting a teenage angler has gone viral.
I'm the best charter captain you will ever meet.
One of the passengers on that boat is now breaking his silence.
It was crazy. I paid $300 to rip some zins and maybe catch some grouper. Instead, I'm on TikTok and my pastor's pulling me aside saying, why didn't you step in? Like, bro, I'm three high noons deep.
The passenger was just feet away during the altercation, claiming the boat trip turned from peaceful to panic in seconds.
Next thing you know, Captain Florida Man's trying to WWE body slam a 19-year-old like it's a South Tampa Waffle House.
I'm 300 days a year on the boat.
300 days on the water. And the other 65 in anger management. He said, I'm the best charter captain you'll ever meet.
Yeah, in prison.
The confrontation then quickly escalated into a physical altercation.
If I wanted to watch grown men square up on minors, I'd hit up a Little League game in Pasco County. Or Chuck E. Cheese on $2 pitcher night.
Authorities are still reviewing the footage, but for this passenger, the memories are already burned in.
Didn't catch any snapper, but I did catch a subpoena and sun poisoning.
Regina Wilson, Fox 13 News.
You know, confirm or deny whether or not that was an actual witness to the incident in question. I don't care. Dude, I'm three high noons deep. Did you see the update to that video? Like the fisherman going crazy actually happened.
That's real. That's real.
That is a real story. Correct. And apparently his behavior was so despicable against those teenagers, he is getting death threats. Not okay. He says he is deeply sorry for his behavior when he allowed, quote, a moment of frustration to escalate.
That's not who I am.
Oh, Dan.
Did Dan just steal your line, Sam?
Literally. I was going to say, that's not who I am. I'm a man of Christ.
He's due back in court on May 5th.
Great minds think alike.
I don't even know that we can play the actual entire tirade.
If it's not edited. He drops a couple of tasty F-bombs. He's upset.
No boater, no fisherman, and no person should ever have to endure the experience that these kids went through. However, his actions will be dealt with through the appropriate channels of the criminal justice system.
I paid $300 to rip some zins and maybe catch a couple grouper.
Public shaming seems to be doing what it needs to do.
Well, but I didn't know this. He's charged with kidnapping, isn't he, or burglary or something? The enraged captain commandeered the small vessel and drove around while the frightened 22-year-old begged him to stop. Hmm.
Yeah, that's kidnapping and theft.
Yeah, not okay, dude. Not okay.
The best line in that skit, though, is my pastor said, bro, why didn't you get involved? I'm like, bro, I'm three high noons deep.
$2 pitcher night.
Say for real, I am the best charter captain you will ever meet in your blanking life.
Yeah. Honey, in prison.
You probably need
higher aspirations.
Well, I think maybe he needs to talk to somebody in a professional capacity.
Florida man.
That was a really good skit.
That really was.
Always a Florida man.
All right. Sad news today. The oldest survivor of the Pearl Harbor attack has died. Vaughn Drake.
There was one living survivor.
That is correct.
Oh, tell me.
Vaughn Drake, who is from Kentucky, believed to be the oldest survivor of the attack on Pearl Harbor, has died at the age of 106.
Did he lie to get into the war? You know, so many of those kids did. Here. 16, you know.
He was a 23-year-old member of the Army Corps of Engineers.
Gosh.
Mm-hmm. Stationed at Pearl Harbor. He was 23 years old. That is correct.
Wow.
He initially thought that the aircraft were conducting practice maneuvers over Oahu until he saw a bomb hit one of the buildings at the Naval Air Station and smoke rose up. We knew by then it was more than just maneuvers. It had to be a real attack. It just didn't seem real. No one could possibly believe that such a thing was happening. And even when it was happening, we didn't believe it. He says he does feel like a part of history. You are.
Of course.
But he went on to say, I did not make this a big thing in my life.
So. Okay, I'm going to tell you what I thought you were going to say. And what you just said were completely different. So Scott just says, sad news today. And I go, I know it, Wink Martindale. And then you're like, the oldest surviving war veteran. It is worth mentioning that Wink Martindale has also died. And that's just a name that is just seared into my memory from my childhood.
Host of Gambit and Tic-Tac-Doe.
Please. He did more than that. He was America's game show host, dare I say, for years. I'm Wink Martindale.
Conducted one of the first TV interviews with Elvis Presley.
Really?
He was 91 years old.
They need to bring back Tic-Tac-Doe.
It's Tic-Tac-Doe. And now, here's our host, Wink Martindale.
For years.
Yes!
Oh, play. If that's a news story about his life, play it.
Wink Martindale was a familiar face to TV viewers, entertaining generations of game show fans on popular hits like Gambit and Tic-Tac-Doe.
Name this detective.
Shaft.
Right for Tic-Tac-Doe!
The affable host was known for his smooth voice, gleaming smile, and vibrant wardrobe.
I like your jacket.
Martindale started out his career in radio as a DJ before making the jump to TV, where he was one of the first to interview Elvis Presley on camera for his show Teenage Dance Party in the 1950s.
Anytime you're in town and want to come by, we certainly will welcome you.
Well, thank you very much, Wink.
Later reflecting on their friendship with Al.
I was sort of the Dick Clark of Memphis. I did a Saturday afternoon teenage dance party. And Elvis, because we had known each other since 54, he came on my show for an interview. I still have that film and I cherish it.
Martindale's first game show, What's This Song?, premiered on NBC back in 1964.
It's time for What's This Song? And here's the star of the show, Wynn Martindale.
Wynn Martindale.
Bob Arum, who was head of daytime at that time, thought Wink was too juvenile sounding, so they shortened my name to Wynn. So for a year, I was Wynn Martindale.
But he found true name recognition with the blackjack-themed series Gambit, which debuted on the same day as The Price is Right with Bob Barker.
Welcome to this game where we play with 52 cards and very large decks.
After Gambit left the airwaves, Martindale bounced back with the massively popular Tic-Tac-Doe.
Let's look at the rest of the board here, Jeff.
Martindale was multi-talented. Also a singer, he recorded 7 albums. His spoken voice recording deck of cards earning him a gold record and an appearance on The Ed Sullivan Show.
There are 52 cards, the number of weeks in a year.
I had no idea.
Martindale received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, where tributes began pouring in overnight for a beloved TV icon.
And just more on his incredible backstory. Now,
That voice is smooth as silk.
The second I heard it, I go, oh, I remember that voice.
Now, here's the thing. Just a couple of days ago, like 2 days ago, the revamped Tic-Tac-Doe made it back to the airwaves.
No,
what are you talking about, Willis?
Way.
Game show channel. Yeah.
What are you talking about, Willis? No way.
Tic-Tac-Doe back after 35 years.
Who's the host?
Not Wink Martindale. Someone. Really?
It would be difficult for him to be the host. He's dead.
Game Show Network with model Brooke Burns at the
Brooke
helm.
Brooke Burns.
Starting April 14th.
Does anyone else find it interesting that Wink Martindale's first game show was Name That Song, and Wink Starrett
plays Jam or No Jam.
Plays Jam or No Jam. Whoa. A coincidence, I think not.
By the way, Wink Starrett has agreed to come back for Jam or No Jam. We were taking a bit of a break. His decision, not ours. And he has decided that he is willing to come back to Jam or No Jam. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Dan Weinbaum, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. So Time Magazine is out with its list of the 100 most influential people in America. Jalen Hurts, the quarterback from the Philadelphia Eagles, is on the list. Okay. And so is this person. I'm going to give you one visual hint. You tell me if you can get it. Okay. Are you ready?
Lay it on me.
100 most influential people in America.
Okay. Oh, David Muir.
David Muir made the list.
Elbows
influential or just David Muir?
Just David Muir is influential.
His elbows should be in a separate category.
ABC News anchor Diane Sawyer writing in a tribute to Muir for his 100 most influential people list shows up calm, respectful, and fearless. Like Peter Jennings before him, David is authoritative and dynamic. The first out the door to the story. I am lucky that my successor is also the irreverent friend that I want to hang out with when the camera shuts down, said Diane Sawyer in a man's voice.
Do you think when Diane Sawyer sits down with David Muir, they flare out their elbows like this and lean into one another?
Hello, Diane.
I can't let it go. He's done it for 15 years, and it's driven me crazy since the first time I saw it.
Drives me insane.
It's a type of mammalian posturing.
It is.
What does that mean?
Mammalian posturing. To show your toughness.
So
like
you guys,
puffing your chest out.
His palms are flat on the desk.
The fingers face each other.
Elbows are out like you're about to do the chicken dance, and then he leans in.
Good evening. I'm David Muir.
And now that I tell you that, you will not be able to unsee. He does it every single night. It doesn't matter if it's a happy story, if it's a sad story,
if
it's an important story, if it's a frilly story.
Like he's ready to launch out of that chair at any second and climb over that desk and tell you the news.
I will come after you with those news headlines.
And what does he say when he opens?
Good evening. I'm David Muir.
That's so good. I'm David Muir. Who else is on the list? Sam, will you look up the list? Because I know that Jalen Hurts is on it.
Please. Taylor Swift's number one. She moved entire global GDP.
I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if she's number one. It just says David Muir and Jalen Hurts.
They are not numbered.
Okay.
Ed Sheeran, Scarlett Johansson.
What's Ed Sheeran done in the last
Daniel year? Daniel Day-Kim, Kristen Bell, Adam Scott, Rashida Jones, Diego Luna.
Scotty Scheffler, can you pull up that video, please, Sam? Oh, my gosh, you guys. I thought there was some Revolutionary War aspect to the tournament that kicks off today, because when we were down at Hilton Head, we kept seeing people in plaid red costumes. There were
tomorrow.
They're for the practicing today, and then it's Thursday through Sunday. But we kept seeing all of this like Revolutionary War stuff at this famed course in Hilton Head, where you see the red and white striped lighthouse every year. I did not realize until today, when my Johnny sent me the video, that the cannon we kept seeing in some of the merchandising is an actual cannon. And as Scottie Scheffler teed off today on the first hole, they let that sucker rip, and I'm pretty sure it registered on the Richter scale.
Is it near Fort Sumter?
No, I don't. It's the RBC Canadian Open. So I don't know if it has something to do with Canada. I don't know. I don't know these things.
You said it was at Hilton Head, right?
Yeah.
South Carolina?
I'll play it for you. It is.
What would that have to do with South Carolina?
I don't know. Listen.
Oh, hell no.
Watch this, Scott. It is as he is driving. Watch.
Simultaneously with the firing of a cannon.
Mm-mm. I would crap my pants.
I think I just did.
If that thing went off in my backswing. But it's apparently how they start this thing every year.
Okay.
And the player's dead.
And needing his white pants washed.
By the way, I just made it through the whole list, Dana. Taylor Swift is not on it.
What? Oh, give me a break.
Is Jalen Hurts the only football player on it? Travis Kelce's not on there, I'm assuming?
I don't believe he is.
Okay. No. You know what? Then that list is stupid, and we won't even discuss it.
A bunch of names I don't even recognize.
It's because you're getting older.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're older than me.
You know, you're getting
Lively's
old.
Lively's on the list. What did she do other than
she got into a huge legal battle with that one guy? Whatever his name is.
Justin Baldoni.
Yeah, Justin Baldoni.
All right, speaking of legal battle, and we don't have to get into this now. This could be next hour, but we also have a naked guy in our stack, and I'm super excited to talk about it. There is a case, Sam, have you heard about this, in front of the Supreme Court that will affect every lawsuit against, like, federal agent law enforcement employees.
Oh, I have heard about this.
Yes, because you know that, like, there's this thing called qualified immunity, that if something really, really bad happens and it's a public figure or law enforcement officer that's involved, in a lot of cases, the rules say you cannot sue them, which I disagree with.
You can sue the federal government, the question being—
You can't sue the agents.
Correct.
So here's the deal. The United States Supreme Court is looking at this now because of one of these raids that went so wrong where an entire SWAT team, and there's video, goes booming in like a cannon to this house, and it's the wrong house.
It occurred in October of 2017. The FBI raided a home in West Atlanta, Georgia. It is now, as you mentioned, Dana, headed to the U.S. Supreme Court. Justices have agreed to hear the case. In some regions of the country, the law, the Federal Tort Claims Act, allows families to sue the federal government for the actions of federal employees. The family of three was startled awake by the sound of several FBI SWAT agents storming their home with rifles.
It's a mother, a father, and a seven-year-old. In my mind, I thought, whoever this is, they are coming to kill us. They did have a firearm in the home, Scott. So like any gun owner would do, you hear someone busting into your house, they run into the closet to hide.
And grab their guns.
And grab their guns.
I would too. I have three guns in my house.
They are so lucky.
Thankfully,
no one was shot and killed.
They did not have time to get the guns. So they ran into the closet where they keep the guns. They hadn't gotten the guns out of the safe yet when I believe the dad lost a tug of war with the agents
over
the
door.
Closet door.
They were trying to, Scott, can you imagine? The agents are trying to get into the closet and the family on the inside, they don't know who's on the other side.
So explain where the discrepancy comes in.
They got the wrong house.
Okay, but the right house was
down the street.
Okay.
So
they said it looked very similar, which, you know, you ever been to suburbia? All the houses look the same.
Listen to this. FBI agents handcuffed and questioned the dad as if he was the target of the arrest and search warrants. However, in later depositions, FBI agents testified that dad had no tattoos on his neck, like the suspect did. And another agent noticed a piece of mail in the bedroom with a different address on it and street name than the one on the warrants.
And name of the suspect. Or
so then the officers suspect. Walk out and then go, whoops. And then they walk down the street and do the exact same thing at the correct house.
But how does that happen? Because years ago, and I was talking about this yesterday, I did a piece in 2005 called Riding with the Kickens.
And they check.
Oh, let me tell you what they do. And I shared this in the piece. I can't believe it's been 20 years. So I rode with the Kansas City Police Department SWAT team, and for 2 weeks, and they were going to raid this one suspected drug house, and it was a drug house. The times that we rode by that house or drove by that house, and they had one cop in the driver's seat, one cop in the passenger seat, I'm in the back, and the passenger police officer says, I'll just give out a number, it's arbitrary, 5319 Oak. And then the police officer in the driver's seat goes, 5319 Oak. And they check it on the piece of paper that they have in front of them.
Then why do we have this story on our stack about six times a year?
Dana, they did that 3 days in a row before they raided that house.
By the way, this family that was traumatized then was left to stand in their front door, which, by the way, they busted the door off the hinges.
Yeah, so the hinges don't survive
where
those.
The door once was, they stood in that door frame and watched the agents walk down the street to the other house and then watch them perform the raid on that house.
Mm-hmm. The U.S. Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in the Atlanta case beginning next week. The High Court's eventual decision this year, listen to this, will set the standard for suing federal agencies nationwide for mistakes made by their employees.
Good.
Read that. Federal agencies nationwide.
Good. You've got to get it right.
Not just the FBI, not just the ATF. I read that any federal agency.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Somebody on the text line writes, Taylor's tour was in 2024. It's 2025. Yeah, but it's April 16th of 2025. The list of the most influential, 100 most influential people is not who was the most influential the first 3 months of this year.
Quick, the clock is ticking.
Be influential.
Be influential.
It most certainly is for the 2025 calendar year.
No, it's for the last 12 months.
We haven't even had time to. How do you know that next month I don't discover some great Nobel Prize?
Because we've worked with you for 14 years.
Experiment in the world of, say, physics.
I'll bet you 50 paychecks you don't.
Everyone's world.
I'll bet you my 401k you don't.
I'm not making this up. It says right here on the top of it, Time 100 Most Influential People of 2025.
I understand, but when they
I agree with you. The premise is goofy.
Is the last 12 years or 12 months.
Or not, 12 years. Well, I mean, sometimes it takes people longer to be influential in a global sort of way.
Tell me one thing about physics, and then I might be willing to make this bet.
It is the movement of matter, sometimes from point A to point B. Other times not.
Rejected.
False.
Noah Kahn.
Say it again.
Noah Kahn
equals MC squared.
Well, what has Noah Kahn done in 2025 that he didn't do in 2024, which is what he's really nominated for?
Physics is the study of matter of movement.
Hang on. I'm going to look up the definition of physics.
How dumb are we that we're looking at the definition of
physics? I got an A in physics. Now, it was like 40 years ago.
Lorne Michaels. Oh, sorry. It tells you who nominated
them. Physics is the study of movement. I'm telling you.
It is the study of the nature and properties of matter and energy.
Yeah. Energy is movement, you ding-a-ling.
I don't see the word movement in this definition at all, and it's three sentences long.
Energy is not movement.
Yes, it is.
No.
It if you're not. Just sitting there like a lump on the log, that ain't energy. Yep. You start moving, that's energy.
Okay.
Should win a Nobel Prize for that explanation.
Okay. Here is a very simple, I looked up simple definition of physics. Physics is the scientific study of matter.
Yes.
Energy.
Yes.
Space.
Yes.
And time.
And how things move between
and how they interact.
Yes, that means moving.
No. Snoop Dogg was on the list.
Oh, my gosh. Well, then I should be on the list, although I do love me some Snoop.
So how is Snoop on the list and Taylor Swift is not?
So it also lists who nominated them. So Hoda Kotb,
yes,
nominated Snoop Dogg. Larry Fink was nominated by somebody named Beth Ford. Larry Fink, the owner of BlackRock.
Mm-hmm.
He should be on the list every year.
Mm-hmm.
So why they made the list, you would have to ask the people that nominated them.
You don't know who Hoda Kotb is?
I do.
I don't know who Mr. Fink is.
He's the CEO of BlackRock.
He owns everything.
Oh, okay.
913-586-7798. Justin in Western Shawnee. Hello.
Oh, hey. So with this federal torts claim case, I guess I'm curious, if something like this happens, can somebody use their homeowner's insurance to make themselves whole and then have the insurance company go after the federal government? Or is the, I'd be curious to hear from a lawyer or an insurance agent on that one.
I'm curious, Justin, real quick, does the insurance company at least cover like bizarre damage to property, or does the city cut a check?
You really want to make that claim on a door?
No. Well, it's more than
that.
It's
doors
Justin,
are like $5,000.
Yeah, you can spend a lot of money on a door. Trust me, I know.
What part of Western Shawnee do you live in?
Scott, my favorite door. It was a $10,000 door. I'm just telling you right now.
A $10,000 door?
You have no idea what one could spend on doors if one chose to spend that.
And how's that door treating you?
It was attached to the house that didn't sell for 6 months. I remember saying, I'm going to rip that door off the hinges
like
on my way
out. Like
the
FBI agents.
Yes.
They could have done it for you.
But I would have done it more gingerly than that. I don't think the insurance claim is going to be the thing here. I think the city just cuts a check. But the damage is so much more than the
door. Why would the city cut a check? This was the FBI.
Or the feds. I don't know. It's more than the door, and here's why. They had a seven-year-old boy inside the home that should not have been raided. He is now 14, still sleeps in mom and dad's bed. I mean, not really, but you know what I mean. Like, there's no amount of therapy. And in fact, he said, when I grew up, I wanted to be a police officer.
Not anymore.
Now he says he wants to be a football player and a lawyer.
Probably a defense lawyer.
There's only one of those, Mike, and he's got this.
Yeah. Okay. A Northwest Florida city is declaring that it's time as a hotspot for spring breakers has come to an end, saying it, quote, can no longer be a spring break town.
They say this every April.
Well, but last year it was Miami Beach, remember?
Yes.
Miami Beach said, we're done. We're out of the business. Authorities in Panama City Beach, 100 miles from Tallahassee, say they are now calling it quits when it comes to spring break. Quoting here from the police chief, whose name I can't pronounce, every year we try to manage it, and every year it brings more challenges. I am not willing to risk the safety of our city to hold on to something that no longer works. He says the city's, quote, law enforcement officers are not expected to shoulder the burden of an event that no longer aligns with the values or the vision of this community.
Forget the values and the vision. It's the cost. It is the cost. You have to look at your return on investment. How much do the spring breakers bring in versus how much are you shelling out, and then also the damage to your city's reputation? Because I've said this before. I will never, ever, nor will any of my children under any circumstance go back to Miami Beach after what happened the last time we were there.
Well, and I was watching Morning Joe this morning. Mika Brzezinski, Joe Scarborough's wife, was reading a story about how the new trend, and the whole time she's reading this, I'm literally sitting in the chair in my primary bedroom going, new trend? The new trend with high school spring breakers is that parents are chaperoning the trip. That's not a new trend,
Mika. That's
what
we call the 1990s.
I mean, this has been going on for years where parents will take their kids on spring break. There's usually some poor sucker who draws short straw, and they end up taking their kids and two or three other families' kids down to Cancun or Punta Cana or Miami Beach for spring break.
I think what a lot of these cities are realizing is that they're not bringing in as much revenue as they used to or as they expect to in that week. A lot of kids aren't going out to the nice fancy dinners, so maybe the Airbnbs are full, but they're buying booze at the liquor store on the way down. They're not even getting the tax dollars for that. So, it's ROI, and there is none.
From the text line, Dana, I'm going to bite. What happened in Miami Beach?
It was one of the years that rubber bullets were fired and police were down there.
It was spring break of 2021.
The children were there on a family trip with their dad. Mm-hmm. They did not realize that the time that they were going down there aligned with the mayhem that was going on the streets of that, what is that, A1A?
Beachfront Avenue.
I was like 30 minutes away in another city. And
were you, Fort Lauderdale?
I think it was Fort Lauderdale. And I said, get in an Uber and leave there right now. Like, they were way too close to the craziness. If you look it up, the number of arrests, when was that, Scott? Like 5 years ago?
It was spring
break
of 2021.
Oh, God, it just scared me to death. It scared me to death because the police even said, we have lost control of the situation down here. They were outmanned. They were outgunned.
And Miami Beach has said from that day forward, we're not doing spring break anymore.
But how many people said from this day forward, we'll never go back? I mean, so to Sam's point, what is the ROI? It's not. And the locals hate it. And the majority of the people I believe arrested, none of them were spring breakers.
Yeah, the troublemakers are not the spring breakers traveling from
local adjacent that were coming in
to sell drugs.
Well, or just to party and cause problems.
Right.
The majority of the people arrested had Florida zip codes.
From the text line, can you describe the mayhem? Are you sure it wasn't mayhem?
I do think it was closer to maybe mayhem.
Which is elevated.
Yeah, very, very scary.
It's not May Turkey. It's mayhem.
Get out.
913-586-7798. 7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. So FEMA is out with the 10 most endangered rivers in the United States list. Would you care to guess which river is the most endangered in the United States?
Like, it's going to be kidnapped? Why is a river in danger?
How do you kidnap a river? Wait, that would take some serious physics.
Okay. You do understand I thought the Mississippi ran north and south.
That's because it does, Dana.
I mean, it's still is.
Oh, my.
Oh, God.
So, I don't know that I could even name two or three rivers, but let me give it a shot. Is Mighty Mo one of them?
Maybe we don't. Maybe we don't. I thought the Mississippi ran north and south.
It does.
That's because it does.
Yep. Well, it only runs one of those directions.
You get the point.
I do.
Okay. Is the Missouri River one of them?
No, Dana. And by the way, endangered means it is something.
Why would you ask me about something having anything to do with maps? You know
I did not ask you what direction does a Mississippi River flow. I did not ask that question. It would be endangered because of pollution, extreme weather, and outdated water management.
And is the Chicago River on the list?
What does that mean?
Or whatever river is in Chicago.
That's Lake Michigan.
Blake, Michigan?
Lake Michigan.
Oh. No, the Missouri River is not on the list.
Well, is the Mississippi? Because those are the only two I know about.
Yes, the Mississippi is number one. It runs east to west. Starts in the Rockies and empties out in Virginia into the Atlantic Ocean.
If you said to me, I'll pay you $1 million right now to name another river in the United States, I don't think I could do it.
You're kidding.
The Arkansas River? Is that a thing?
Well, in Kansas it's called the
Arkansas River.
Right.
Is it endangered?
Then you have the Kansas River, which flows into the Missouri River, which flows into the Mississippi River.
It's all very confusing to me.
Don't forget the Colorado River.
There's the Snake River up in the Northwest.
I mean, there's the Nile. Let's not forget the Nile.
The Nile is not in the United States.
What is an interesting fact about the Colorado River?
It runs in Colorado?
It runs from Colorado to the Pacific Ocean.
And runs through?
Nevada. Las Vegas, and it is very endangered because there are a lot of people in Las Vegas because of the and Arizona because of the golf courses are grabbing a lot of the water before it gets to the Pacific Ocean, and that means people in Los Angeles can't get a hold of it.
Is it endangered
stuff?
The Colorado River?
Yeah,
it's not on the list.
Okay, what about the Ohio River?
No, in fact, a lot of these rivers you've probably never heard of.
Thank you.
The Tijuana River.
States.
Is number two.
Wait.
I would bet it is.
Yes.
The rivers of southern Appalachia. The lower.
Look at me with a straight face and tell me you've heard of the southern rivers of Appalachia.
I have not.
Oh, my goodness.
I have not. The lower Rio Grande. Now, I've heard of the Rio Grande.
Also would not have guessed that was in the United States.
Could you point to the Rio Grande on that map?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Keep going.
It is the river that defines the entire Texas southern border.
I'm not great at topography.
That's geography.
Whatever.
Okay. The Rappahannock River.
Oh, common spelling.
I don't know where that is. The Susitna River.
Look at him.
I'm not familiar with
sitting
that
here like he's Bill Nye the Science Guy. You don't have any idea what you're talking about.
No, I don't. I don't know where these rivers are. I'll be honest with you.
But you should know where the Rio Grande is.
The Rio Grande is literally the southern border of Texas.
It sounds like it's someplace further south.
Wow.
It does.
Wow.
If you said to me, where's the Rio Grande? I'd be like, Argentina? I don't know.
By the way, the fun fact I was looking for about the Colorado River was not mentioned. It is what formed the Grand Canyon.
Okay, Wikipedia boy over there. Lay your knowledge on us about the Colorado River.
Y'all killing me.
Yeah, I had to look that one up.
I'm actually impressed it took you that long to walk in that studio.
Well, you were saying, well, the lower Appalachia, and I go, nobody knows. And then I see Dan out in the newsroom, stands up and raises his hand.
The rivers of southern Appalachia.
Yeah.
Yeah. How was that monumental physics discovery
different
going there,
than the
Dana?
Rivers of the northern Appalachia?
Yes, that's true.
When did the Mississippi start running east to west? Was that about 1,000 years ago?
Actually, that changes on odd and even years.
I see.
Yes.
What about on a leap year?
It stops flowing.
Oh.
I got lost on 435 at Midland Drive today.
Well,
2 minutes from where I was going.
That's a mess over there.
We will discuss.
It forces you off into those shops. There's no reason to be over there.
No. We'll discuss.
And you want me to come up with the names of rivers you can't even pronounce.
News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes.
Get lost in Shawnee, for God's sakes.
Here on Dana and Parks. We'll see you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.